The entanglement of religion and politics has always been problematic. Of course, conscientious individuals will draw from their moral values as they make important decisions, whether about candidates in an election or social ethical issues being debated in Congress. But the real problem comes when religious institutions and the institutions of government blur the appropriate lines of distinction between those two entities. Well, this week, the whole matter of religion and politics has reached a new level of threat to our secular government that strikes me as dangerous for everybody. Two new stories make my point. President Trump's rhetorical assault on North Korea included apocalyptic language that we have not heard from any president since Truman, when he spoke of the annihilation of huge numbers of people in Japan. Listen, North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before, President Trump said. None of his generals would ever have made such a statement. Of course, the president boasts that he is smarter than his generals. Maybe only one person or two in his cabinet would support such explosive threats. So where does he get encouragement for such apocalyptic talk? Listen, this week, Texas megachurch pastor Robert Jeffries, one of Trump's closest evangelical advisors, released a statement saying that President Trump has the, quote, moral authority to, quote, take out North Korea leader Kim Jong-un. American foreign policy cannot be based on an evangelical preacher's misinterpretation of a verse from the Bible. Pastor Jeffries cited Romans 13:3, a passage in which the writer was affirming the good government of Rome in his time. After encouragement for people to do good, the writer warned, "But if you do wrong, be afraid, for God does not bear the sword in vain." Now look, the truth is that God does not wear the sword at all, anthropomorphically speaking, because God calls for us to live in peace. The same Bible that contains this verse also contains a warning that government itself can deteriorate to a level that the government itself is bad. At best, this minister misrepresents the God he claims to serve. The God of love and grace would hardly condone an act that snuffs out the lives of 25 million people in South Korea and brings who knows what kind of devastation elsewhere. Who Trump listens to is important. With no policy or government experience, he is as vulnerable as any president in my lifetime has been to manipulation and misguidance. The people that placed their hands on his head and prayed for him in the Oval Office, the people that proudly claimed to have unfettered access to the president's ear, his attention, and his administration, are not the people he needs giving him directions on how to conduct foreign policy or domestic policy. And they do not, by any stretch of the imagination, represent your interests or my interests. My respect for evangelicals plummeted this past week because of the second story to which I turn. The Barna Polling Group, most always ideologically conservative in their interpretations of the data they gather, told us that today's evangelicals have little appreciation for the Bill of Rights. The Barna Group's conclusion, based on the results of their questions about what makes America great, was, quote, evangelical Christians generally take a dim view of the Bill of Rights and freedom of speech. A confirmation that evangelicals really are viewing the world through a lens that few of us could ever accept as credible. Look, I no more want evangelicals to guide the policies in our nation than I want the Catholic bishops to do that, or the leaders of any other faith-identified group. That's the kind of thing our nation was expressly designed to prevent. If you don't support the Constitution and you bless nuclear attacks on innocent people, whether to get rid of one crazy opponent or bolster the standing of your anointed leader, something is deeply, deeply wrong both in your religion and your patriotism. Among the evangelicals polled, the guarantees of freedom enshrined in the First Amendment were most important to only 2% of the people interviewed. This finding sends a chill through my body in the same way our firebrand president's words do. My friends, when talking about religion and politics, we are no longer talking about the abstract dangers of partisanship in the pulpit or prayers praising American exceptionalism or revisionist history undermining the First Amendment to claim ours as a Christian nation. We are talking about peace or war and stability or chaos in the world. In my opinion, we need legislation to give us relief from the fear of an unbalanced president who impulsively could decide to start a world war. And we need assurance that American foreign policy will be the product and the work of experienced diplomats and generals who understand and fear the devastation of war. The shocking disconnect between the fundamentalist religious right part of the president's base and the rest of the nation, the long, festering faith-based distrust in expertise, international cooperation, and science itself cannot, must not, lead to unfathomably destructive consequences for all of us. No longer is the importance of the constitutional relationship between religion and politics a matter of debate. Now, getting that balance right is a matter of life and death. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone you know, please share it with that person or persons. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and engage in the discussion. Let me say thank you to our great producer, Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And friends, be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.